like, well, if I throw a mic on, then I can help others the way that these people have all helped me.
Born in the heart of the Pennsylvania Deer Camp, with the help of experts, friends, and local legends, we bring you valuable knowledge and powerful stories for your hunting adventures. Welcome to the East Meets West Hunt Podcast with your host, Bo Martoni.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the East Meets West Hunt Podcast presented by Spartan Forge. On today's episode, I am joined by Josh Ilderton, Zach Markham, and Cole Booth of The Untamed. We discuss the 5 days of running the mountains of southern West Virginia hunting turkeys, and spoiler, we ended up with 3 gobblers. So we discussed the aggressive running gunning, Zach's white-winged tom, tactics for turkey hunting the steep mountains, myself and Josh's double, and a whole lot more. 100% born in the Appalachian Mountains and made in the USA, Timber Ninja Outdoors provides a range of mobile hunting options to accommodate diverse hunting preferences. Whether you prioritize comfort, lightweight design, or versatility, their 2-panel and single-panel saddles collection has something for everyone. The Black Belt Nano is the lightest single-panel saddle available on the market, weighing in under a pound. The saddle is designed with the minimalist hunter in mind, focusing on lightweight functionality and breathability. One notable feature is the patent-pending magnetic stick clip system on the side, which allows for convenient transportation of sticks up the tree, as well as a built-in platform holder. The Nano saddle can be folded up to the size of a Nalgene bottle, enabling easy portability. With a 4-way stretch material on the back for a comfortable fit, as well as strategically placed padding for hip pinch relief. You can use code EASTMEETSWEST to get free shipping on any Timber Ninja order. If you try it out and don't like it, send it back within 30 days for a full refund. Learn more at TimberNinjaOutdoors.com and sign up for their email newsletter for exclusive discounts and product drops. When it comes to optics, I get the same question over and over again. What are the best all-around binoculars? Well, it's tough to find something that works in every condition great, but after using a pair of Maven B1.2 10x42s, I think I found them. They feature an 8x or a 10x option, superior low light performance, tack sharp edge-to-edge clarity, a generous depth of field, and a silky focus mechanism. All of Maven optics have a lifetime no-fault warranty and hail from the great state of Wyoming. I've been using Maven optics since I bought my first pair in 2017, and I think you should test them out for yourself. Head over to mavenbelt.com and use the code EASTMEETSWEST-GIFT for a free gift with any full price optics order. For all of those that want a truck bed cover for work or play, Diamondback makes the top of the line heavy duty covers that help you do more with your truck. They're perfect for the truck owning, avid sportsman, outdoor enthusiasts, and weekend project warriors. I'm currently using the HD cover that is capable of holding up to 1,600 pounds on the top. And then I have the Yakima Overhaul HD bars on top so I can put my rooftop tent on it. When I'm not using my rooftop tent and able to use the trifold design of the Diamondback, I have the Crossbin 8 in there to organize all of my stuff in the back of my truck bed. Diamondback is made right here in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. If you want to check them out, head over to diamondbackcovers.com. If you've wanted that hunting camp tradition that we talk about, that experience, but you don't have a hunting camp of your own, you're welcome to come stay at my hunting camp up here in the Pennsylvania Wilds called the Elk Crossing Getaway in the PA Wilds. So if you go over to Airbnb, you can check out our 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath house that's right in the heart of Pennsylvania elk country. It's only minutes away from a bunch of public land to be able to hunt, hiking trails, outdoor recreation, fishing, all of those things there. The house is completely fully stocked with everything that you need to be able to spend a week hunting deer, taking your family up to see the elk, anything like that. So if you head over to Airbnb and search Elk Crossing Getaway in the PA Wilds, you'll find my listing there and you can rent out my house. Send us a message, an inquiry that you're interested in it and mention that you heard it on the podcast here. Then we'll get you 10% off of your first stay. On this week's Mountain Buck Monday Story of the Week, we have a story coming from Dalton Fanning out of Ohio. Dalton wrote in, growing up hunting the hills of East Tennessee, a young man only dreams of making the trip up north to hunt the great state of Ohio. Once I became an adult, a close group of friends and I have put in many miles of scouting and many hours in the tree hunting a large tract of public land in southern Ohio for the last 5 years. My third hunting season up north was one I'll never forget. It was the first and second week in November, and with enduring tough hunting conditions due to warmer than usual weather conditions and excessive amount of pressure and confidence levels at an all-time low, my longtime friend and hunting partner Matt Richards had scouted a ridge that led into a nice saddle that runs north to south on a secondary ridge. He had mentioned that while scouting, he got about 60 to 70 yards from cresting the saddle when he spotted a very nice buck in the 150 to 160 inch range, rubbing a tree, and then watched it cruise through the center of the saddle and to the other side. With our rut vacation coming to a close in a day and a half, I made the hard 30 to 40 minute trek up the ridge the following day and didn't get set up till 8:30 a.m. I set up in the saddle off the north side with the wind blowing from the south into my face. With no movement all morning, around 11 o'clock, I glanced to my left to find two large does feeding down the saddle and peed in a scrape at 15 yards away. As they fed off, I looked up in the same direction and noticed a very large buck cutting across the other side of the hill heading towards where the does went. I kept my eye on him. As he disappeared, I heard a twig snap to my right. I look over and at 20 yards in closing, a buck was making a beeline to my tree. I slowly grabbed my bow, and as he walked by the base of my tree, I made the turn, went to full draw, settled my pin on what was the biggest deer I'd ever seen, released and watched the arrow enter behind his last rib and exit directly at the front of his chest. He then ran 80 yards to the bottom of the ridge and piled up in a matter of seconds, ended up scoring 144 inches as an 11-point and had a couple of tines broken. To this day, this is still my biggest buck to date, and it was also my very first public land deer. If I had anything to say or take from this hunt, it would be that it's not over until it's over, and to not give up when you believe all odds are against you. All it takes is a few seconds for a hunt to turn from nothing to the best hunt of your life. Well, congratulations, Dalton. That, I mean, no truer words could be said there about anything can happen at any time. And this buck is an absolute stud. It definitely, if anyone wants to go check that out, recommend heading over to East Meets West Hunt on Instagram or East Meets West Outdoors on Facebook. You can see three photos that Dalton sent in there. So congratulations again, Dalton. Hope to see some more success for you there on your annual rutcation trips in the coming years. If you have a Mountain Buck Monday story that you want to submit, please send it into my email, bo@eastmeetswesthunt.com. And in the subject line, put Mountain Buck Monday, just a short paragraph or two, story, and some photos to go along with it. Would love to be able to share it with everyone, and love going through these every week. So really appreciate everyone's submissions. The only news I got this week here is check out the videos on the Untamed YouTube channel from this hunt that we're going to be recapping here. You can see the actual hunts up on YouTube now too. So if you go, there's three different videos there, and it's pretty entertaining to be able to see. But podcast breaks down some of the behind the scenes and some of the story stuff that didn't make the video there. But I really appreciate everyone listening. And if you are in Pennsylvania, this weekend coming up here is the opening weekend of turkey season. So good luck to everyone, and please be safe. And yeah, if you like the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, anyone that you think can benefit from it. And leave a rating and review. All right. Well, hope you have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you next week. All right, we are live from West Virginia. What's going on, guys?
By God.
By God, West Virginia.
From the creek, literally.
Yeah, from the creek bank.
Yeah, this is a good idea that you had, except for I guess I didn't take the memo on the sunglasses. Everybody's got sunglasses on.
Well, I mean, we're just cool.
Like yeah. This, yeah, you know, I guess.
We're untamed.
Oh, we're going to start that out already. So for anybody that's listening here and not watching the YouTube version, down in West Virginia. I've got two people that you've heard on here before. Josh has been on here about 100 times, it seems like. So basically, on my left, we got Josh Ilderton from
What's
The
up?
Untamed. And then we have Mr. Zachary Markham.
What's happening?
And then we have Cole Booth, which is brand new.
Brand new.
To the show and also to The Untamed.
Yeah. A bunch of new things.
Brand spanking new.
So are you the first full-time employee for The Untamed?
He is. Cole came to work for us. Cole, just to give you background, Cole was THP's, the Hunting Public's intern in the fall of 23. I'm always talking to Warb and those guys, and they gave Cole a really good reference. Cole reached out to me because he had got word from them that I'd probably look, you know, that we were looking for somebody full time. Cole and I talked, texted back and forth, and excited to have him on board. He started working March 1st with us. He started off the turkey season down in Florida for us, dropped our first video, and he's making a difference already just in the short span that he's been here. So it's a pleasure to have him, and really excited what we're going to be able to do together in the future.
Yeah, no, it's been cool to get to meet Cole here, and him and I are roomies for the last few days down here. And
yeah, we're roomies with no doors on the bathroom. We're real personal with each other.
It's okay.
Are you all sleeping right side by side?
No,
I moved.
He put him in the room.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 So I'm in the room, but yeah, the house is under renovation currently. So there's, you know, we're at where we're at. But yeah, the whole no door on the bathroom thing is just more of a, I have to go in there, I yell, hey Cole, don't walk over here for, you know, give me about 10-15.
That's terrible.
It's all right.
It's all right.
I mean, it's all right, ain't it, Cole?
It's not. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. I don't mind it.
So Cole, tell Bo's listeners, since this is your first time on his show, a little bit about you before we get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so I grew up in eastern Wisconsin, right by Sheboygan. I'm from Plymouth. It's a town of like 8,000 people. And I guess I was pretty big into the outdoors growing up, and then I got pretty into sports throughout the end of middle school and into high school. And I honestly didn't get to hunt all that much in high school, and then I ended up playing college basketball, so turkey hunting was kind of the thing that I got to do because I didn't have season during the spring, but during the fall I'd have practice most days of the week. So I didn't, this past fall with THP is the most I've ever deer hunted in my life, which is, I mean, they pretty much go every day, but yeah, so I had a really good fall with them, learned a ton, super close with all those guys. It was a great experience, so I'm really thankful for that. And then that led to this opportunity. I knew I wanted to stay in the outdoor industry, and all the guys at THP were like, yeah, the guys from The Untamed are some of our favorite people, and I'm sure you'd love to work with them. And I've only been here, what is this, like day six?
Got here last week, right? Right before Kentucky season?
Is it Thursday today?
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah,
so it's a week. Yeah.
You should have gave me a call first, Cole, but hey, you're here.
We've got you in the mix of a lot of stuff already in 7 days.
Oh God, it's been a hoot. I love it already. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, I love seeing it. Like when we were going out to roost birds the other day and stuff. Cole's like just fired up about it. He's like, I love it. I love it here. I'm looking forward to rest of the spring and the fall. But you know what's interesting, I just want to talk about real quick here, is just about how interning has helped lead you to, you know, having a full-time job and kind of rolling through that. What would you say, like, as far as for anybody else that was kind of in your shoes a few years ago, do you think that's kind of the route to go, or what do you think?
Yeah, I just say, anybody that I talk to, I just tell them, like, if you want to get into it, just set your mind to it and just keep doing it. I mean, it might not happen for you in year one, year two, year three. Like, just keep applying, keep meeting new people, because it's all about connections. Like, the hunting industry is, it's a pretty small industry. Like, a lot of people know each other, and I think just the more people that you talk to and can build a relationship, I think, is the main thing. And then obviously an internship with a group that you enjoy being with, I would say, I think that's a big thing, because like I watched THP for a while, and like I felt like I knew them just from watching their videos. And then I got to meet all of them, and we just clicked really well. And they helped me learn so much. And like being an intern, you don't have, you get to kind of choose what you make of it. So like if you want to focus as much more so on editing, like you can just focus on that, ask questions. So I think being an intern, it's pretty vast on how, what you can make of it. And that's kind of what those guys talked to me about. It's like, it's going to, you're going to get out of it what you put into it and what you want to get out of it. So if you work hard, are always asking questions and just ambitious about it, I think that's going to lead to more things. Cause I made so much growth in editing and filming and just by having conversations with people about it throughout the fall. And then you just keep building on it. And I mean, when you're doing what you love, it's pretty easy to just nonstop talk about.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And it's so true. Cause like, even with like, I've been, you know, I need help on a lot of different avenues, from the video to the photo to editing, things like that. And I've had people reach out, and it's like, it's when I meet people like you, there's, if I could give any advice, even though I'm not, you know, was never in that role specifically, but for someone that looks for people like that to either hire or internships or anything, it's just, you got to show ambition and want to actually like get better at it, because you're not going to just sit there and all of a sudden be better. Like, you got to be ambitious and want to learn and looking up things and learning how to edit more. And, you know, like Josh and Zach, you aren't going to be able to teach you everything that comes down to Premiere Pro and being able to use it. So, or really anything.
You think of that. Do you think that we can't use Premiere
no,
Pro?
No, I know you can, but I'm saying like to go to that next level. Like, well, Josh.
Yeah, we're not on the next level.
Yeah.
I'm teaching Zach this summer.
Yeah.
That's, nice.
That was one of the main, when I heard he was coming, that was one of the biggest things is I told Josh, I said, that'll be great for me because he's going to be right here and I'll be able to pick his brain as far as on the editing side of it.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously something we've been kind of lacking for a long time, just between me and him.
Well, it's not that we're lacking. It's like, it's the lacking of getting content out that we have.
Yeah.
Because of subbing everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And getting Zach up to speed, having Cole here, Jay does editing, you know, having three people that can do it is going to be huge.
Oh, it's going to be, yeah. I mean, even if, and do I expect to be able to just say by this fall, hammer out my own video? Probably not. But what I do expect to be able to do is put a rough cut version of my video together.
Yep.
And then I can dump it to Cole and be like, hey,
makes him much more efficient.
Yes, way more efficient. And then, like Josh said, that's been our trouble the whole time, is just pumping that content out. You know, we've got the content. It's just getting it all out there.
Yeah.
I mean, just like today, you asked about, we were reminiscing on that area we were in, and we were talking about Zach. It was a killer stalk. And you were like, man, I didn't see that, but did that make it to the channel? And we were like, no.
No, it didn't. Made it to the hard drive.
Made it onto a hard drive.
Yeah, and I think a big thing about content creation is like, there's people that are really good editors that take subcontracting work and edit for people, but it's never gonna, there's little pieces of a hunting story that only the people that are there for are gonna know. And like be able to put that together and grab those little sound bites that, like, as a large scale editor, it's way harder to do that when you don't know exactly what happens. It's only,
yeah,
like some things aren't caught on camera that are a part of that story. And then if you're there, you can kind of tie it together a lot easier. And I think like the video I put up from Zach's bird in Kentucky, I was able to piece that together really fast because it's like this happened, and I could just grab it, and I already had a timeline for how the video was going to go before I even looked at any of the footage. And that just makes it so much easier, and I think that'll make the Untamed content just a little more, I don't know what the word would be, just more,
well, it's going to be way more efficient
and
proficient.
Yeah.
Well, it's, we'll see.
Yeah, that
we can't,
that's true,
you know.
It's been more efficient so far. Proficiency, We're waiting.
We're still waiting to see.
It's definitely more efficient for sure.
He's doing a great job, and we're happy to have him here.
Yeah, so everyone meet Cole. But as much as I want to talk about Cole some more, I'd really like to talk about turkey hunting, which we've been doing for the last 3 days down here in southern West Virginia. And the season opener was on Monday, and we're recording this on Thursday, April 18th. So for anybody listening, this one, I decided to come down and do some turkey hunting for the first time in West Virginia. And honestly, I really haven't done much out-of-state turkey hunting other than Ohio, like, 8 years ago. I just haven't done much of it, and I kind of got a bug in me that I wanted to turkey hunt some more, and I used to enjoy it a lot more than I have in previous years, and it was just I didn't dedicate the time to it and going out, and I was really excited to get to come down here and hunt the places that, you know, I've been deer hunting and, you know, with our lease and everything, and yeah, and also get to learn from you guys, which was, I was really excited when you asked if I would tag along.
Hey, what do you think about that, Zach? He shows up Monday?
Yeah.
And Monday I said, evening.
Yeah, and I said, hey, he's like, I don't, you know, I'm thinking I'll go out there to that ridge. And I was like, you're not going to join us to hunt? He's like, well, no, I think I was planning on just kind of not infringing. He didn't say infringing, but, you know, I was just kind of going to let you all do your thing, and I'll go out there and do mine. I was like, well, that doesn't sound like any fun at all.
I know better.
That would have been a dirty trick. I put this bug in your ear last fall.
You did?
Yes. Don't you remember? I was like, you need to come down turkey hunt with us.
Yeah, I know, but I just, like, I know that, I don't know, it's just another person around. It's just
you're probably thinking, man, these guys are trying to get content.
Yeah.
I don't want to
just throw myself in the middle of
well, that's
all
not
that.
I mean,
that's what
we enjoy. Get content.
Yeah,
we're not worried about that, but the hunting together is what it's about.
Oh yeah, that I couldn't see it any other way for like how much fun just in 3 days.
Yeah,
that we've had hunting together. It's been
eventful.
Oh god, no doubt. I mean, just look at like when we all scrambled right there. Looking back, when I killed my bird, looking back at us scrambling in that road, all four of us. It wasn't like me and a camp. Me and Cole scrambling to hide. We're hiding four grown men. You know, you don't. That's the funny parts. That's the stuff we remember.
Well, yeah, and so I guess before we get into that, the story aspect of it, how would you describe your guys' style of turkey hunting, Zach?
Non-patiently running and gunning. And I know that running and gunning word it's thrown around a lot with turkey hunting. But, I mean, that's what we do. We chase the hot birds, the ones that want to play. You know, obviously we can pump the brakes a little bit if we need to. If it's, you know, if we're not having any luck or, you know, we find a specific bird that we just didn't want to stick with. But for the most part, we run and gun. We truly run and gun until we find that one that wants to play. And most of the time, pardon my French, but we have a lot of old shit moments. And we pile up under a bush somewhere. And hopefully he didn't catch us before we got under the bush.
Yeah.
I mean, that's well, you've been here and 6 days, and how many times have we done that already?
Five or six times.
Yeah,
but that's the good moments.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's the best. I mean, how part. Fun would you're it getting, be you're to getting, be sitting there just looking down your gun barrel for 45 minutes knowing he's coming?
And there's nothing wrong with the guys that hear a bird on that hillside right there, and they go up there and
they fool with him all day.
They fool with him all day. That's cool.
That's successful too.
Yeah, you can kill birds that way. But it's not how we like to hunt. It's not how we have fun turkey hunting. The way we hunt, you know, if the birds that Zach was talking about don't want to cooperate, we're still dropping pins on those birds. And the running part starts right there, because we'll leave those birds and run to a bird or find a bird that's hopefully going to cooperate. If he doesn't cooperate, if we don't find any birds, we're always swinging back later on in the morning to the birds we pinned early that didn't want to cooperate, and we usually get them fired back up 2 or 3, 4 hours later. And that's the running and gunning part. There's all kinds of ways to turkey hunt, but for us, the fun for me and Zach is, and you've been with us for 3 days now, is taking off and getting in the birds and trying to get in. You know, you hear everybody talking about that bubble of these turkeys, these gobblers, and it's just trying to get in that bubble. It's an absolute hoot. I mean, I can't explain how much I look forward to it every year. I look forward to it so much I was late the first day.
He slept in.
I couldn't even sleep, man. When I fell asleep, I felt like I was, you know. I'm just kidding. I went to bed early. No, I did go to bed early. But I'd hunted with Brody youth season Saturday and Sunday, and I was kind of wore out. And then I woke up late Monday, but I was like, man, Cole and Zach, they're going to go strike some birds up. I'm going to get over there about 7:30, 7:45. And I'm going to be like a client. I'm just going to walk up there and smash one.
That was our plan.
That was our plan. We tried.
How many birds y'all hear?
Zilch, zero. Goose egg.
None.
It didn't work.
No, it did not work.
So we hunted until... We hunted till 1 o'clock Monday. Didn't do any good. We heard 4 birds all day. Didn't do no good.
Yeah, it was not a good look for the untamed crew.
Not being in the home state.
Home state opener struck out.
I can't wait to spit on this mic.
Oh, you're going to? Yeah, I see. Yeah, you lean over to that side and it's still in the same spot. You're going to end up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you one of my headsets if I do.
No, but we have a really good time. Turkey hunting, the way we turkey hunt, like he said, you got multiple ways you can kill them, you know.
And I think, like, that's exactly what I wanted from when I was tagging along on day one, you know, Zach was like, hey, just FYI, I'm the shooter today. And I was like, no, man, that's like 100% what I wanted. Like, I wanted to be involved. And I'm not trying to paint you to be an ass, but like, But that's what I wanted was to be there, be involved, and just really learn how your guys' style is and to be able to hunt. And I've always been on the other side of it where it's more of I'm just trying to find a bird, and once I find one that gobbles, I'll play with them for a while. And watching how you guys do it, and I mean, if that bird don't want to play for 15 minutes, you're moving on.
We're gone.
And it was like weird to me, like it gave me like anxiety a little bit.
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Yesterday when we saw that bird cross the road in front of us, and then he was at like 50 yards and he was kind of just around on that hillside, and we just decided, oh, we're just going to go. He doesn't want to play. But I was like, oh my God, I would never leave this turkey. I lay here all day.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like,
and we just lay here.
Yeah. I mean, he was like 70 yards from us, but he just didn't want to play. He didn't want to gobble. And he probably would have came out to one side or another before closing time, but you're like, nope, not the game we want to play. We're out.
And
start walking down. I'm like,
yeah.
What?
I mean, that's a good example because, like,
yeah, it is.
You know, with Cole, and I sit over and I said, dude, he's just not wanting to do it, man. I said, if he gobbles, we'll fool with him. But if he's not, I mean, when we saw him just picking around and, you know, but he just wasn't doing it.
Now, we do have the opportunity to do that. Some places you don't have the opportunity to do that. You know, you don't have the acreage, you don't have the access, you know. We, especially down here, now, like when we, but even like in Virginia, like me and you go to Virginia, we still run a gun.
Yeah.
When we go to Kentucky, we run a gun. But I can see just not from so much personal experience, but just watching other YouTubers and stuff, watching other shows, how, you know, you get down in Alabama and you find one turkey that gobbles, you might want to just stick right by his side, you know.
Yeah,
play his game.
And that's kind of the way it has been in PA and a lot of the areas that I hunt where the population had been down so much. It's like you hear one gobble, you better, like that may be your chance for the day and you got to put effort in. So there's definitely situations to it, but there's also, you know, as it's been getting better over the last 3 years, I'm like, I'm gonna use a little bit, maybe more of a hybrid approach of doing that. Maybe, you know, wait things out a little bit longer.
Set you a time limit.
But yeah, but not, you know, going all in on an area. And that was, I mean, that's the way my grandpa has hunted, you know, for years. Now he likes to find one bird that he wants to hunt. But in years past, you know, he'd ride around and find spots, call, nothing moved, next spot, call, and just, and be able, because you're trying to get as many at-bats as possible. And like with your guys' style of hunting, there are chances that you're going to screw up because you're being super aggressive and you're going that, but you keep, I'm not talking down on you, John.
We know.
But like, just keep, but you keep, you have so many at-bats because you're always moving and going on that it works out. And that's, yeah.
You just got to keep hammering at it.
I mean,
sometimes Josh's energy goes down. I got to try to pick him back up.
Sometimes his energy goes down.
We've discussed obviously on the podcast, but I've explained to you, Bo.
I was going to bring that up.
The hat trick. You can see Josh's energy in his hat. You can tell exactly where he's at.
If the hat is down low and just off to the side crooked,
stuff's getting ready to get real.
Super serious. He's dialed. He's focused. There's nothing else going on in the world other than,
I agree with that,
than what he's focused on at that moment.
Yeah.
If you have the hat sitting on top of the head, just barely sitting there,
the day's chalked.
The day's done. He's done. It's time to start over again tomorrow.
Yeah, go.
If the hat is sideways on top of his head, he doesn't really have any feelings. He just can't.
He just go with the flow at that point.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. It is what it is. I mean,
have you ever wanted to have Levi Morgan, Andy May, Johnny Stewart, and others available at all times? Well, you can with Cyber Scout from Spartan Forge. Cyber Scout is like the ChatGPT for outdoors men and women. You can ask it any questions related to bow building, scouting, hunting, survival, and a whole lot more. I think you'll be impressed with how it responds. Cyber Scout is currently out now for a select group of early beta testers and will be available to the rest of you really soon. The entire app is a complete tool for planning your hunt with incredible aerial imagery mapping, journaling, deer prediction, and some of the most accurate and detailed weather data. Use the code EASTMEETSWEST to save 20%. And if you're still on the fence, give the 14-day free trial a chance at SpartanForge.ai. CVA has been America's number one selling muzzleloader brand for over a decade. Hunting with a muzzleloader opens up a ton of hunting opportunities across the U.S., and I've been using the Acura series. But they don't only make badass muzzleloaders. Their line of centerfire rifles are great quality and not terrible on the wallet. The Cascade short barrel is ideal for tight quarters, deer drives, and quick shots in the big woods. You can check out their line of muzzleloaders, rifles, and accessories for every season and every range at bpioutdoors.com/CVA. If you use the code EASTMEETSWEST10, you'll get 10% off of all CVA products, which includes rifles, muzzleloaders, and accessories.
For us, and I think, you know, our season in West Virginia, you have to be out of the, you have to be done hunting at 1 p.m. And there's a lot of turkey hunters that make the mistake. And we get text from our buddies, y'all hearing anything? What are y'all hearing? We're not hearing nothing. And people go, they go home if they don't hear any birds on the off the limb, on the roost. And I think that's where a lot of turkey hunters make the mistake, is they don't stay out until their maximum times. We've been out till 1 o'clock every day except for today. And the only reason we came back today is that because we've hunted so hard this week, is we wanted to get this podcast done. I've got to go look at a couple of jobs. Zach's got to work. Cole's got a video to get out tonight, or we would have stayed till 1 o'clock. It's like, if you don't hear anything, you have to stay. That's one thing I will say, no matter what the mood is, we hunt.
Oh, yeah, we're going
to hunt. We hunt until, if we're not having success, we hunt until we have to be out of the woods.
Yeah.
I think it's a big key for our success.
Absolutely.
It is hunting hard and staying after it and grinding. No matter how much you don't want to get out and walk over or run and gun and keep on calling, nothing there. Which, that's what you have to do, you know.
And don't get lazy and jump up on a berm before you call, like at 12:15.
You did.
Yeah, you got to keep your head in the game.
Complacency.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Big old Tommy Thompson was just sitting there right over the edge. And
it would have been an oh moment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you can swear on here. It was an oh shit moment where, like, if even if we didn't jump up on that berm and you would have called and he would have hit.
Yep.
You also made a crucial mistake of not bringing our guns with us when we, because, you know, at first we were just planning on calling at one spot out of the vehicle, and then we just started walking down. Next thing you know, we're a half mile away from the vehicle with no weapons.
And typically, that's when it hits the fan.
Yeah,
you know, that's when that bird's he strikes and he's 75 yards, and you have no exit route to get away from him. You know, you're trying to run back, and it's just a debacle most of the time. And
and
we have moments like that. You know, it's easy to get in a zone to where you're just like, just keep going, going, and going, and directly you're making a mistake like that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So let's talk a little bit about the actual hunts that we went on. So day one that I was around on, so that'd be on Tuesday. You know, you guys talked about Monday being kind of
a dud,
but Tuesday was a little bit different.
Tuesday was very exciting. It went, what'd you say?
It went 0 to 100.
0 to 100 in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So we broke Bo in pretty good right there, right off the rip. He was, obviously, he said he was impressed with my running skills.
Yeah.
So we had an oh shit moment.
Well,
that was because we'd spotted a couple birds. We were going after them.
In the ditch under the road that we was on.
And we were going out there to call, and when we was getting ready to call, who spotted them?
Me.
Yeah, Zach spotted, said, oh, gosh, there's a bird right there, probably 300 yards from us, but way down the hill. Well, we all gathered our stuff up and made our way out there.
Instead of calling to him, we went
to him.
Yeah. And when we got out to where we thought we was above that turkey, or them turkeys that was in that ditch, I made a call to see if we could locate them. And that's when the oh shit moment happened, and there was a turkey that was right above us.
Yeah.
And then the scramble began, didn't it, Cole?
Yeah. Luckily, we had a couple pine trees that we could dive into, but
yes,
it worked out how I don't think any of us really thought that he'd come over the top and come right down to us like that.
No, and that's one big thing that I could tell people that's listening to this. In southern West Virginia, eastern Kentucky, Virginia, a lot of these turkeys in the mountains they will not come down. I mean, they just absolutely, just basically refuse to come down to you. You can have the hottest bird in the country, and if he's up a flat above you, you're not calling him down the hill to you. He's not going to do it. You either got to get on his level or above him. Well, we was below this turkey. And I told you when we set up.
We were below him, not by choice, because we weren't going after that bird. That bird just happened to gobble right above us.
Yeah,
if we knew that bird was there, we would probably would have looped up and got on.
Totally
on
different top approach. The ridge with him. Yeah. But I even told you when we sat down. I said this is terrible situation. Absolutely terrible.
But it was a terrible situation until that bird came out of the woods and he was downhill.
Until Cole said, oh, God, there he is.
Yeah, it was a terrible situation until he perked up. By going, you saw that big white head over there coming downhill and crossed straight at us. And I was like, oh, my.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's a sexy thing right there.
He comes down and we all didn't know it at the time because obviously we wasn't chit-chatting with each other as this was going on, but we all after the fact agreed that we all noticed something a little different about this turkey but couldn't figure out exactly what it was. There was something appearance-wise that looked different. So anyway, make a long story short, he comes in, I shoot, knock him down, Josh gives a big hell yeah, or a
yeah, baby.
Was it a yeah, baby?
Yeah, baby.
Big yeah, baby. And
thing echoed the whole way down the hall.
Yeah, I think it scared the life back into my bird because he jumped up and took off running. And so did I. I run as hard as I could. And I told you, Bo, I said, I thought when I seen him, he was hit hard. I thought in my mind, if I give everything I got, I can catch him. I can get up, you know, I can keep up with him and get another shot. And I did, but I didn't get the shot. And I busted myself. So I go up a hill, down into a thicket. Fortunately, Cole was behind me a few steps, and he was on the uphill as I was in the downhill. And he said, I hollered back. I said, where did he go? He said, he's already topped the other next hill. I said, oh, my God. So I get up to the top. And Cole was like, man, we need to keep going. He's hit hard. I was like, okay. We get up to the top of the next one, and here he is laying up against a little locust bush, 10 yards. Well, he jumps, obviously, and takes off running, and I swing, make a
really good shot.
Well, Bo thinks it was a really good shot, and I appreciate it. But yeah. I made a shot and knocked him down, and when he went down, I went down. and then here we both laid. I literally looked at Cole, and I said, is he down? He said, yeah, he's down, buddy. I said, well, okay, I'm going to lay here for a minute.
Well, watching that bird, there's one thing I wanted to paint a better picture for anybody that's listening to this. So when Zach said that it was in the ditch below us in the road, if you're thinking of a normal ditch anywhere else in the country, you mean like over the bank? I mean, this was a good, 100 feet of elevation below, like a big ditch that you find in coal country, basically.
Yeah.
And so it was way down below. I mean, it was a good spot from, a distance there. That's where we thought, and that wasn't even the bird that you ended up shooting.
Right.
We were moving on him to get above him as we thought he was heading up this drainage ditch to head up to the upper road. And that's where that other one sounded off. And when he came in, man, like, all of us knew that something would look different about that bird. I mean, his head would turn ghost white, which was super cool. He's strutting coming in. I was like, man, is this the way they are in West Virginia? They just come ripping downhill. They do, come across this wide open. But I think us setting up in those pines made a big difference where he couldn't exactly see where the calling was coming from. But then we had four grown men tucked into different bushes. I was just laying on the ground holding a GoPro up, and when that bird came in, I thought you weren't going to get a shot for a second, and he was going to come around by me, and my gun was laying down because holding this GoPro. I was like, there's no way I'm even gonna get a shot. Ended up having like pure white wings, which
that was the big thing that we all noticed something
different. As soon as I walked up to it, I was like, my gosh, I knew there was something that was shining. Because he put on a show for 100 yards.
Yeah,
at least. I mean, he was in the open.
Yeah.
He came across that side hill. I mean,
he was in that little drain right there. You asked me how far he has to come, and I said, well, he's probably 80 right there.
I mean, it was unreal, the show he put on, going in and out of strut and half strut, spitting and drumming. And Zach put the hurting on him.
Put the hurting on myself.
And, he obviously doesn't have his turkey lungs and legs up and running him yet. So it busted him running after him, but it was...
We got him.
Yeah. And then the rest of the day was pretty uneventful, right?
What happened the rest of the day?
Did we hear any more? Did we get on any more?
Oh, yeah, we went diving off the mountain there at the end.
Yeah, that's when I was the chauffeur.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we went out.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Running and gunning and didn't do any good. And then all of a sudden at
noon.
Right at noon.
It was 12 o'clock, 11:58 when we dropped over the mountain.
We struck some birds out on a big high knob, and it was a cliff pretty much. And these boys, Bo, Josh, and Cole, dropped over the mountain. And fortunately for them, I stayed at the side by side. And
pick us up at the bottom.
To pick them up at the bottom of the mountain in the creek. So.
Yeah, because, there's a good 1,200 feet elevation from top to bottom. And, I mean, I'm talking straight up and straight down. And Josh, we knew we had to move quick in on these birds. And when we were going down it, I described it as a figure skater moving through the mountains and how Josh was moving so quickly. And, he would kind of fall and slide. I mean, you scraped yourself up. But you do it pretty gracefully, which I was impressed with. And it was a struggle to keep up to the speed and keep, just everything underneath me as I was heading down off there. I was impressed. It was very good.
Well, I always have said I've got cat-like reflexes. That's how I travel. I always land on my feet.
So, day one of Bo Martonic's adventures down here in southern West Virginia. But turkey hunting.
Yeah.
You come away with, what'd you say? I look like a, Josh looked like a figure, remind you of a figure skater going downhill. And I looked like.
Who? Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt.
When you're sprinting after that turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. But when we went down there, to recap that day there, as we were heading down, it was a long story, but essentially we kept getting off on the wrong finger because there were so many little fingers that ran down through there, and we were trying to play it cautious, but then we were running out of time, and we ended up getting to where the birds were and literally saw him on the point right at 1 o'clock, and we could do nothing about it but unload our guns and walk down off the hill.
Just wave at him.
Yep. That's what he did to us.
Tell him to say, see you tomorrow.
Yeah. He waved back at us.
Yeah.
And then we got our crap together and we done it again on Wednesday.
Yeah. And Wednesday was very.
Yesterday was fire.
Wednesday was very electric. Event.
Yeah. Yesterday
was on fire.
Electric. Yeah. Yesterday was fire.
And I'll start it out by saying it was slow. The first bit of the morning, we actually had a little drizzle of rain. We didn't have no idea it was coming. Low ceiling in the sky, kind of just everything just felt low. Everything did. Well, then after that little rain, everything picked up, and the woods were electric.
God, there's birds gobbling every direction.
Yeah, we didn't know which way to turn, and from that point, I'll let you all take over.
Well, I mean,
that mic a little closer, Josh.
Well, I was afraid of my tobacco juice, but I will.
You move it out of the way when you spit.
Okay, I've always, it's no big deal. It was one of those mornings where you have to. We were on foot, trying to cover a lot of ground, get to places where we can hear birds, multiple birds, not together but off. We had an oh shit moment on two birds we had to come back to, and Cole barely got them on camera. Zach had them full frame because he was behind us calling. Bo and I were over the hill, and we couldn't see through the grass. So that bird was within 20 yards and got away from us.
Stung.
Yeah. They kind of put my hat, like, not all the way on the crown of my head, but, like, it was starting to cock up.
Yeah.
And then we heard a couple birds while we were on those birds and talking about it. And then got on, how did we get on that bird?
He was gobbling right after that
That's
happened.
That's right.
We heard him across the holler.
Across the way, yeah.
And then we circled decided. All the way around the mountain and come in on his backside. And struck him, moved on him, struck him again. And when I say strike, we're hooting. We're hooting at him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
To move. We've not made any calls yet. We're just hooting to keep a location on him so we can keep on moving and getting inside of his bubble.
And for anybody that doesn't know why you're doing that in case that bird he's extremely hot and fired up. And if you call to him, but you still need to move, the chances are is he's going to meet you halfway.
Yep.
And most of the time, that's not a good thing because he's going to catch you in a bad spot. You know, so if you can continue just to hoot at a bird or crow call at a bird until, you know, as you're moving on him, until you get to where you think you can kill him, a good setup for yourself, you're a lot better off to do that, you know, if you can and if he's answering that, just because, you know, like I said, he won't start towards you, you know. So you're able to do what you want to do.
Yeah, it was interesting because, I mean, you guys don't call much at all until you're in the bubble of where you think you can kill them, essentially. Or you might do a locator if it can't get them to answer the owl hoot just to try it. But for the most part, there was no calling going on at that point. So that was a really good point.
Which kind of happened today, this afternoon, actually. We called to a bird on that. I called at him up on top, and then we moved at him after a few minutes, and by that time, he had already made his way up there, and we could hear him walking just over the hill from us, and it's like, if
we would have... what happens.
And that's
why you don't want to call unless you're set up and in his bubble.
Yep.
Yep. So we kept on moving on this bird, and we got to an area. We said, we'll check him here again, and hooted, and he was right below us.
Directly
below us. So the bird's not moving, so we had time to kind of look, but we're on steep country. We're in a road, but it's steep down and steep up. So we had time to think about where we were going to sit. Zach was going to call in one spot and then run up the hill and get set up. And Zach called, and this bird, what did he do, like seven gobbles? Seven.
What would you call that?
I don't know. What it was quad? It was like
a continuous.
I don't even know what seven is.
He was like choking on his own gobbles and just.
Yeah, it was just one after. Just,
I don't know how to describe it, but it was like nothing I've ever heard. That it was like that many gobbles.
It was almost the octagobble.
The octagobble.
That term will go through the industry. That's another little bit of Ilderonomy. Yeah. Octagobble.
The octagobble.
But I mean, he was out of breath.
I mean, right? he literally ran. Gobble. He gobbled till he ran out of gobble. Like his last two was like a like it.
And then he didn't gobble again, and he was coming. Hit that. Now I will say that last gobble of the octagobble, you could tell he was turned our way and coming.
Yeah, he was.
It was like and it was like
Yeah.
And we got set up.
And who was number one on the shooting list at this point?
At this point, no, you had known that I told you that.
Yeah, you told me at that point, you're like, hey, I want you to be set up for the shot there. Which we were both like, we were parallel with each other. If he came out one direction, you had the shot. If he came out another direction or in front of us, I had the shot. So And that bird kind of came up not exactly where we expected him to.
Yeah,
he came up to the left.
He came up off to the left a little bit.
I think he came right to the call over the lip.
Well, I'm shooting a new bow this year, and I am pumped. After playing around with a buddy's Hoyt RX8, the smile on my face made the decision for me. The first thing I noticed with the new Hoyts were their extremely smooth draw cycles and the ability to adjust the back wall to make it rock solid like I prefer. I outfitted my own RX-8 with the inline accessories that made installation extremely easy and balanced out the bow. My favorite accessory so far is a simple one. It's the Go Sticks 2.0 adjustable legs to make your bow like a tripod, but it doesn't interfere with any part of the bow or the limbs or anything like that. In addition, the integrated kickstand within the HBX Exact cams protect your string from excess wear when you put your cam into the dirt. Ground hunting or spot and stalk just got easier. If you want to experience what I'm talking about, head to your nearest Hoyt dealer and take a test drive yourself. You can learn more at Hoyt.com. The Mobile Hunters Expo is a consumer-based hunting show unlike any other. It provides an interactive learning experience where you can try all things mobile hunting and learn from the best in the business. Come experience an unbiased, community-based environment where you can improve your hunting skills and find the right equipment for your needs. I'll be speaking at the Nor'easter Show in Mannheim, Pennsylvania at Spooky Nook Sports from August 9th to 11th, 2024. So come check it out or either of the other shows in Michigan and Georgia. You can purchase tickets online at themobilehuntersexpo.com. Or grab tickets at the door. I'll see you there.
And then went to his right just a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah, I would say he probably, I don't know, but I would say he comes straight up.
That's right.
Because I could hear him walking right up. And then he stopped walking for a bit.
And I'm pretty sure we heard him spit. I was like, he's right below us spitting. But then Zach and I didn't even know. Like, we didn't know until both of us jumped.
Yeah, Bo scared me.
At the shot. Because the bow, the turkey came up to the left out of Zach and I's area. So we're kind of locked in.
And I wasn't watching Bo either.
Right.
If I'd have been watching Bo, I could have told by his action that he was getting ready to shoot or something was going on. But I couldn't see you all. So I had no idea. And when the gun went off.
Yeah. So, Bo, we'll let you.
We were all surprised at that point.
But
we'll let you take it from there.
So what happened? So Cole said, he goes, I hear him. He's coming from the left. And I couldn't hear him at that point. And I was like, okay. And so I'm looking that way. I kind of shifted my body a little bit. And all of a sudden, I seen that head coming up. And I got down on the gun. And I'm like, oh, crap. He's kind of heading out that way. And he may come in front, but he may not. I felt like once he hit that dirt road there, it was kind of game over. He was going to turn around. And he's coming through this brush, and as soon as he hit one hole, Cole says to me, I'm on him. And that triggered me to pull that trigger at that point. And but it wasn't just that. It was also me not sure if he was going to just exit our life at that point. And it was a good shot. I mean it should have been 30 yards relatively open. I could see his head and everything. And I must have jerked the trigger. I mean, I definitely did. That's exactly what happened, because my gun's on, as we found out today. But, like, yeah, I missed him behind his head. And you can see it on video. The whole pattern went behind it. And when I was target shooting, there was one shot where when I pulled the trigger and I knew I jerked, that I hit off to the right. Yeah. That's exactly what I did.
I think he was at that point, though, where he could have... At that moment, it's like if he cuts into that thicket and goes down, you're going to be kicking yourself that you didn't shoot right there.
Yeah, I mean, that was the right decision to make to get that bird killed.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the type of turkey hunter where you're wanting to sit there and just fool with them, you know, and let them take that chance that they're going to come up in the road and like put on that. A show for you. Like no, that. I don't fool with them. I'm shooting. First opportunity.
I'm shooting, too.
I'm shooting.
I'm shooting just where you shot. You just
hold
it. It's no big deal. And that's turkey hunting. If you ain't missed a turkey, I could care less. We catch hell about it all the time.
Yeah.
We miss turkeys.
We miss
several. We kill turkeys. And if you're turkey hunting enough, you're going to miss. It's that simple.
Yeah.
So we chalked it up, got our wits about us. Can you hear me now?
I had
a little adjustment by my buddy Zach with my microphone, but... Bow was kind of down. Did we hear any birds after that? That's the bird we saw.
Yeah.
That's and then we left him, and Bow was like, what are we doing?
Yes.
And then
going to Bow's bird, we heard another bird off in the distance. So we went to Bow's bird. Well, I call him Bow's bird, but he's technically not your bird because you didn't hit him. So I don't know what we'll call him. We'll call him bird number one. We was going to Free Bird.
He was with Leonard Skinner.
Yeah. We was going to Free Bird and heard another bird off in the distance. So after Bo missed Free Bird and he flew to two counties down, we decided to go full with the original, you know, bird number two over there. So we go to him. That's the bird that we talked about earlier that we seen, thought he may have seen us. He obviously didn't. We set up on him, called him in to 60, 70 yards, no shot, but he was still not boogered or anything, just kind of meandering around there on that point, and that's the one that kind of blew Bo's mind because we just got up and said, all right, peace out. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. And then really the rest of the day was pretty uneventful, but we went all the way until 1 o'clock again.
Yep.
And I don't think we struck up another bird the rest of that day, so then it kind of led into... today, which there's a lesson we haven't talked about yet with the way you guys turkey hunt that I think is super important for anybody that hunts steep terrain with a lot of different terrain features and points that jet out, is the fact that when you're in big steep country like we are here, those birds can't hear you depending on where you're located at. So, you know, we would move 20 yards sometimes to call from a different angle and then all of a sudden get a bird to answer, or we'd be able to hear a bird that might have been gobbling and we just couldn't hear it because of the way the terrain lays. And you're always going to say if you're on one ridge, you're basically calling to that other face versus what is below you. And that's what I learned, you know, as far as with hunting some of this big country. Is that accurate?
Yeah. It's just a matter of not thinking that you're calling to every bird, say, in a particular holler. You know, you get high up on a mountain in a particular holler and you're calling down and you can hear it echoing down this holler. Don't think that every bird in there is going to hear it. change. You can change sometimes. I mean, you change 30, 40, 50 yards, maybe 20 feet in elevation, and the pitch of that call is something totally different. And a bird that you feel like you may have even been closer to at your last call, he may answer you from this area. And we've done that today. I mean, a couple times. We've done it a couple times, several times, obviously. Yeah. But you'll see us, and Bo, what Bo's referring to, he's seen it the last 3 days. We'll call an area, and then we might just walk another 30 yards and call again. And for Bo, that might have been confusing at first, but I'm sure you've realized why now.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And it was proven many times over about hearing those birds in those different places. Like this morning, we went to a place that we called yesterday at the very end of the day, didn't hear anything, but saw a big tom track on that road in the mud. And went in there this morning, all because Josh was late and we couldn't get to our spot that we wanted to
Josh
get to.
He didn't oversleep. His belly was hurting. That's what he told me.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
So, which, Zach, you can't really talk because you've been late every single day other than today.
I've got a.
He was late today. Why do you think he was parked at Kroger's? Because he didn't want to come up here late.
True.
What are you talking about? Tell me you didn't think you didn't have it figured out.
That is true. But so Sunday, me and Cole went to Kentucky.
So wait a second before you keep on going, because it is 2:10.
Okay.
Cole's going to finish the podcast with you all and tell a story. I hate to leave the listeners and the viewers, but I have to go to work. I got to go look at a couple of projects for my real job.
Oh, you got a real job? You don't do this full time?
Yeah, man. We got real jobs. You know, so I have to do that. I apologize for having to bow out.
All right, now we can get serious now that Josh is gone. But anyways, continue with what you were saying there as far as, or was I saying something?
Where was we at?
We were talking about this morning how we saw Tom Check in there. Went in there this morning and then probably.
Oh, I was probably no. I was talking about being late.
Oh, being late. Yeah.
So Sunday, me and Cole, that was our kickoff was Sunday in Kentucky.
You know, I was all jacked up for it. I was up 45 minutes before Zach said he was going to be at the trailer, so I was up at 4:15.
Yeah, and he was hammering some coffee. I think, what did you say, you drank a half?
At least a half pot of coffee. By the time you got here, I was only planning on one cup, but then I was sitting there for 2 hours, so then I'm like, well, I'm
and this is my first real run-in with Cole. I mean, like, you know, he's never hunted with me or anything, and just basically met each other, and that was about it. So I'm sure he thought, what the hell have I got myself into here, you know?
I'm sure he still thinks that.
This guy is completely overslept on the first day of our season. But anyways, he sent me a text that said, I said, look, man, I'm sorry I'm running late. I'll be there in a minute. He was like, it's okay, man. Can't kill him on the limb anyway. So that's why I'm not that interested in just tearing the bone out before daylight.
Yeah. No, I understand.
It's obviously been pretty successful.
Yeah, but we still did get there in time to hear him on the limb today. And I thought we were going to get a chance of shooting one off the limb.
Yeah. I do think it is a little difficult to not have one roosted and then go in there and hear him and actually get to him in this country while he's still on the limb. Because a lot of times we hear one and we got to loop all the way around, go through a thicket, come off a point. Like, there's not a whole lot of just going straight to one here.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in more, you know, flat ground or rolling hill, you can hear a turkey on a limb, and then you more than likely you can just take off right towards him on foot.
Yep.
Well, here that's you're not going to do that very often. So yeah, we went. You said we'd found the track, big tom track yesterday. Went down in that country that we hadn't been in, and seen a big tom track in the road down there, but didn't hear anything. It was late in the day. So we decided, because Josh was late this morning, had the bellyache, that we would go there, because it was on another side of the property that we was on, so we could get there a little bit quicker. And we got up on the first little berm there to listen, our first listening spot, and it was pretty successful, other than the little, whatever that thing was, it talked back to me.
In the tree, yeah.
In the tree, yeah. Yeah, I had some kind of a... I'm going to assume it was a bird. I don't know. Not a bird that we was after, obviously. It was some kind of a...
I don't, it was like whatever. Hissing at you.
Yeah, it was like...
Yeah, I was halfway through a hoot, and it just... And I stopped. Everybody stopped. Still don't know what... Unidentified animal, but of some sort. But we heard plenty of gobbles this morning, too.
Oh, oh God, yeah, there was a lot of them down.
Well, but you said you heard a bunch, but just me being off the berm, I only heard a couple.
I only heard two, and I was like 5 feet behind them.
Yeah. And so we circled around the head of this drainage, so this big bowl. We went around the other side of it and stopped, and you gave another hoot, and the entire valley just lit up.
What for you think? All, for your all's first time, I had heard it from the other side.
But you definitely underplayed it, because it was like, I mean, there was 7 or 8 birds in that.
Well, I told Josh, I said there's a couple, and then I said there's several. As, you know, we was making the trek around to the other side. Well, when we got over to the other side and I hooted, and all them birds just set in the gobble, and Josh looks, he gives you the crazy eyes, he's like, huh, there's a few more than several.
Well, I will give us a pat on the back. We did pretty good at figuring out where they were roosted at. I think we were just about accurate on all of them, that, because it was hard to tell. But then we looked at the maps and we found where there was pine trees on the side of the hill. I'm like, that's got to be where they're at. Yep. You know, and there was a group there. And then there was a group below where you had originally called from, but you didn't hear them from mm-hmm. there. They didn't respond, or they didn't hear you, or you couldn't hear them just based on the way the train led, but they were below us. And so there was just gobbles everywhere.
Yeah, so we went down on that lower bench level, and we got below the original birds that we'd heard, and then that's when we heard the birds across, that was actually below where we'd started at.
Yep.
And we fooled with them for a minute there and realized pretty quickly that they was working their way up the hill towards the ridge. So we made the decision to bow out of there and go back around towards the top. And when we done that, we took the first avenue we took, we run into a dead end. We was in an autumn olive thicket, and there was a couple hogs in there. Bo was a little bit weary of the hogs. He was quick to draw his shotgun up.
They were pretty close.
Yeah.
They were pretty close.
Me and Bo both thought it was a turkey that spooked.
Like, yeah, right, we thought turkey flew, and they're like, no, those are hogs. And we start hearing some weird noises that these pigs were making. And that's the same spot where Josh's dogs had been tore up from a boar. And I was like, I'm going to have this 12-gauge ready for when this boar comes crashing in trying to take me out. Like, I'm going to save the group.
Well, I would definitely would have appreciated that, for sure.
Yeah,
I would have. Because in that point, I'm jumping in one of them bushes. That's your best exit route.
Is it?
Yes, absolutely.
In case I'm in that again.
Yeah. Jump in a bush. He can't get you in a bush or a tree. Well, I don't know what you're going to do from that point on, but jump in a bush.
So we got to this spot, and what we were looking at was looking at the map, and there was a bench that had some open, and we're like, those birds are there. We heard there's 4 of them. We know this now, but we heard a bunch of gobbles from this bench, and we were on the same level as them, trying to skirt around, and the autumn olive thicket got so thick that we couldn't really go any further, and we were worried about making a bunch of noise and busting out, and there was one little opening in there. And if it were up to me, I would have sat in that opening, and they may have came through there.
Well, they
may have.
They probably would have.
It would have just been tough to shoot in there.
Yeah, I mean, they'd had to come down the gun barrel. You know what I mean? And a lot of times, I've done this before in the past. I've called turkeys through stuff like that around here in them autumn olive thickets. And what they'll do is, instead of coming right down a path that you'd think they would, they know better. So they're slipping, and they're keeping themselves back in a little bit of cover. And you catch a glimpse of them, and like Cole said, it would have been tough to get a shot unless it was just right down your gun barrel.
If say that they happen to all be coming to that open, so you have 4 grown men and 4 gobblers in a very small area, I said it would have looked like a barroom fight. Like, it would have got really got interesting.
Yeah, we just needed some saloon doors, and it would have been good.
And I think that's where I wasn't thinking from the standpoint of, and you made a good point about them, you know, not coming exactly how you'd want them to. I was just thinking, I think they'll come through here, and they're hot enough that they're going to come to this spot, and they probably would have, like you said, but to try to move your gun with their eyes and do that, and it just, it wouldn't have worked out the way that it did, and you guys, this was again, something that I definitely learned from. It was like pulled completely out, went way up around. We'd walk up around the top, and then we looked at it actually on 3D, where you could see that this one little drainage would keep you covered. And we were planning on going down that
going
drainage,
down that drainage,
but
yeah.
We never really made it there.
Right. You talk about us bowing out there too. In mine and Josh's mind, I'm sure Cole's too, we are always thinking about the camera. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the camera does change some stuff with the way that you have to approach stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, if you're just sitting there, like in that situation, if you're by yourself, you can flop up under one of them automata bushes, and you can, you know, all you're worried about is that turkey going, just seeing that much. It's all you need. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just his head
just,
popping
just a
up.
Glimpse of his head, boom, you can kill him, and that's it. But with the camera, you kind of got to adjust some things sometimes.
Yeah.
And in like that scenario right there, that was not going to be ideal for any of us. So we bowed out, and we was probably 20 minutes out of the game there.
Yeah.
Which is another big thing. We never called these birds at all.
Never.
It was all hooting. And we were within, well, I'd say, 100 yards in that thicket. They
maybe
were
a little closer.
Yeah.
I mean, we was pretty close to them right there.
And we just hooted our way as we were working towards them. And then when we kind of sat there and thought about it, we weren't worried about those birds coming to where we were because we weren't calling at all.
Right.
We were just locating.
And had we been calling, something would have happened right there in that thicket. We'd either, they would have busted us or something would have happened there because they would have come through there to check us out. But so anyways, we bow out, we go around the top edge, and we, like Bo said, we found this little drainage that we would, had thought we was going to go into that would lead us down to them without them seeing us. And fortunately, we hooted again just to check. And when I hooted, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hooted. And just to check before we actually committed over the hill. And them turkeys was already in that drainage, 75 to 100 yards over the hill probably. So, that plan was obviously scratched because we couldn't go any further down. And actually, at that point, we was debating whether to go back towards the autumn olive thicket because they was seemingly working that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I told Josh, I think I was like, let's just try them right here. If it doesn't work out, you know, they're still down there. We're up here. We can always move. And we'd made the decision to, we picked a few trees out there. And I told Josh, I said, listen, you all go get set up. I'll get right here in this one spot. And I'm going to hammer on them right here and see if they, when they answer, I said, I'll bow out and go hide. And hopefully they, you know, a turkey is notorious for pinpointing where a call comes from. And that's what we was hoping for at that point.
Which is why you called from down there rather than where we set up, which is what we've been doing a lot of and what you guys, I'm sure, like to do a lot. Just like when you called the one in that bow missed, you called from down at the road, then went to your setup.
Yeah.
Rather than calling right where you're set up, and then that turkey's going to be looking right where you're set up, potentially pick you off.
So I called a little bit there, and they hammered, you know, two or three times. I looked back at Josh and Cole, and from where they was at, they was 30 yards from me. They thought that the birds had moved back around to the right, the way they come from.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I thought the opposite. I thought they was right down below me. And Josh makes the decision to get up and move back into a little bit thicker cover. And I mean, I immediately said, "You're making the wrong decision if you get back here." So we're sitting there just talking about it for a second. And mind you, like we said, we hadn't called these birds, but now I had. So I, you know, in my mind, it's game time decisions here. We got to get with it. And so I said, "Well, I'm gonna call one more time right here." And we're just standing out in a really terrible spot. And I call, bam! They just hammer right over the hill from us in that drainage, coming hard.
50 yards probably.
Yeah, they're probably 50, 60 yards max. And it's the mad dash Chinese fire drill again. Here we go.
Which it totally didn't have to be if we would have just sat where we were.
All we had to do was sit. Yeah, that's all we had to do was sit. So sometimes, you know, these oh shit moments are self-inflicted. But, you know, it is what it is. That's what we like to do. But so it's a scramble drill. Josh and Cole fly down to the, did you all get back on the original tree you set up on? Okay, so y'all got back to the original tree. Bo's a little lackadaisical. I mean, he's moseying behind a little bit, and I fall down up against, like, I don't even know what I might have been a briar bush or something. I don't even know what I was sitting against. But I'm in the back because I'm on a camera. That's all I'm worried about. And Bo is gently moving to a local pine tree there, and I'm like, "Bo, sit down." He's like, "I am." So he just eases behind his pine, gets on his knees, and he slips around. So shortly thereafter, Bo stopped moving. Very, very shortly. Within seconds of Bo stopping his movement, I see the bird's head, the one first bird, pop up. And I see Josh. I can tell he's on point. You know, he's bearing down on the gun. And I see one turkey get by, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, what's going on here? You know, we're going to let these ones get away too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one pops up, and that's the one he shot, right?
Yeah.
The second one.
Second one.
So boom, he shoots. And I've got literal bird's eye view of this whole thing. I can see I'm the only one. I can see Bo, I can see Cole, I can see Josh, I can see the turkeys. And so Josh's turkey hits the ground. Turkeys go everywhere. Didn't realize there was four gobblers at this point until now.
I didn't either. I thought Josh missed.
Yeah, Cole is gouging Josh in the ribs to shoot right here. When Josh's bird is right there dead, stone dead, there's one running down the side of the road beside us, and Cole's trying to talk Josh into shooting it because he thinks he completely missed. So anyways, one of the other birds starts flogging the bird that Josh killed. And, I mean, he gets on top of him, and he just, you know, he's doing his business with him. And I'm watching this whole show. Bo's still sitting down, and I'm thinking in my head, "Bo, you need to shoot. You need to shoot." And I can see this turkey just, he's flogging the piss out of the other turkey. And nobody's moving, nobody's doing nothing. And I'm calling, just yakking back there, trying to keep the turkey's attention. Bo still ain't moved. And I think I said, "Bo," I said something to you.
You said like, "Bo, that's your turkey, shoot him."
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I'm like, I can't see him from like the angle where I was at. All I could see was a part of a fan. But I thought that it might have been Josh's turkey still flopping around. And then I saw a glimpse of a head, and I'm like, okay, that is another bird.
That turkey's alive.
That turkey's alive and he needs to be shot. So I stood up to try to get an angle to see down over, and I moved about 10 yards forward.
You came up even to where Josh and I were.
Yeah. So I moved up, and I don't know, what is that, 25, 30 yards from the bird at that
probably,
point?
But he was just over a little
just a little lip there, and I could just see, you know, portions of him. But what Zach couldn't see from behind was I could see if that bird left that gobbler, which he was going to at some point, he was either going to go left or right, and I had both exit trails covered. So I was like,
Don't mess it up. Just be patient. You're going to get your opportunity.
And we were talking back and forth, Josh, you and myself. Yeah. Kind of talking back and forth.
Loud whispering.
Loud whispering,
and yeah. But you guys are like, shoot up, shoot. What do you have? Yeah. I know. I'm going to.
He had Josh and myself telling him, Bo, shoot him. Shoot him, Bo, right now. See his head. Zach's behind him. Bo, shoot him. Shoot him.
Zach's behind him. And behind this whole show, spazzing out.
And I'm like, guys, and chill out. We got this.
I can tell he's getting pretty annoyed, flustered with us. Like, because it happened yesterday, too, when that one came in, and we were telling you to shoot him, and you couldn't see him.
But Josh sat in my seat at that point and said, yes, I can see why Bo couldn't see him.
Yeah.
So it wasn't my fault. But when you're in a different angle, sometimes you can be 2 feet away, and you're like, how does this person right next to me not be able to see that? With the grass and the way the terrain lays, it can be difficult.
Oh, yeah.
But I eventually...
I'd say 5 minutes he was on top of that bird.
And Josh was like, why is he, you know, I left my arm down a little bit. I rested it on my side. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, you know, afterwards, he's like, you know, you left your gun down. I said, well, he wasn't going anywhere at that point. So why am I going to have my arm up and getting tired and then start shaking versus getting a little bit of a rest to stay patient? I just kept telling myself, be calm, be patient. He doesn't know what's going on. Like, you'll get an opportunity. And finally, saw his head just bebopping back and forth, and that's when I pulled up the gun and shot him offhand at the same distance, even though the day before I had a perfect rest, everything, and then I ended up making a kill shot on him, and we ended up with a double, which is absolutely crazy. We were going nuts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like I was literally like in fits back there. I'm sure, because I had the wireless mic on, and I'm sure that you're going to hear me. Like, I know I cussed. I cussed you and Josh because I was like, if one of you MFers don't tell Bo to step up and shoot this turkey, well, I'm going to kill everybody.
Well, I started moving closer, and those guys said stop, and I got it because they had to come out either way. But right. In hindsight, I probably could have literally walked up on that turkey because he was trying to breed his brother there, which is weird, but that stuff happens. But I'm glad everything happened the way that it did.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When you're in the moment and you're drunk, it was spiked, so, it was, and everything's going on.
It was absolute
on.
Chaos. Birds were flying everywhere after Josh shot, and there's one to the left, one to the right, one gobbled right after he shot. Yeah. It was just – and I think it was you did the right thing, just letting the situation calm down is what you talked about afterwards. Like, you didn't rush anything. You didn't just whip a shot off because, like
– Yeah.
It was really when the dust settled, everything worked out good. I mean – You know, if Cole would have had a gun, if Cole would have been in Josh's shoes, he would have killed two turkeys, which you can't do in West Virginia.
Not
in one day. And most people that, I'm going to say 90% of the people that would have been in Bo's shoes would have come out of there looking like, you know, John Wayne. just shooting and banging. But Bo was patient, although I didn't like it at first. He was patient, and like I said, when the dust settled, it ended the way it was supposed to.
I've learned with myself, like, there's obviously times when you have to make things happen, and then, but, like, assessing the situation, I was, like, trying to think of it, like, trying to remove the adrenaline spike that I had that was, like, I need to make something happen now, and just looking, I'm like, okay, there's no way for this bird to leave, unless he's spooked, that I can't get a shot at him, so just... chill out and let it happen, and it did.
And that's the thing that I could not see.
Yeah.
Where, from my point of view and my angle.
You thought he could sneak down that ditch.
I thought he could sneak out to the right because it got thicker. It was really open to the left, sneak out thick to the right. And I thought that was his exit route. Just the way they come in, basically, I thought that was the way that he could get away from you. So that was partially why I was back there just in convulsions.
Yep. No, I understand.
But it all worked out great. And we got two turkeys. And believe it or not, Zach predicted it last night.
I did. I told I didn't tell Bo because he's not in our untamed group. But our
but it involved me.
Our untamed, it did. It involved your complete name and everything. I said 9 a.m. double. What was it I said?
You said if we double by 9 a.m., Bo's buying breakfast.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get no damn breakfast, I can tell you that.
I offered it, but you guys wanted to keep hunting, so we kept hunting.
So
because you had a second tag and Cole has a tag too, so we were hunting for you guys. Otherwise I would have bought you breakfast. By the time we got to Taco Bell, it was too late, it was past noon and out of the breakfast window.
So he didn't want to buy us lunch. He just wanted to buy us breakfast.
I would have bought you lunch, but you didn't even stand up to the table because you ordered on your mobile app from the table behind, which is weird. But well, apparently you save money on it.
Yeah, so Taco Bell mobile app, mobile order pickup is the way to go.
Yeah, Cole's got them little tricks, man.
Yeah. I'd call myself a Taco Bell connoisseur.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll add that to the resume.
When you drink Baja Blast, you are a Taco Bell connoisseur. Because I'm telling you, he said you, because I said, well, just get me the same thing, because he ordered mine too. And he was like, is this what you want to drink? I said, no, Cole, no, I don't want Baja Blast. I said, for me to describe Baja Blast to somebody that's never drank it, my opinion of it, if I would ever drink 409, you know, the cleaner, 409, or Grease Lightning,
yeah,
that's what I would think for, like, that's what I would think they would taste like, is Baja Blast. Yeah. And it's my wife loves it.
Interesting.
Have you ever had it?
I think I have, but it probably would have been like 15 years ago.
Now I can do the Code Red. I think they had an
remember
orange.
Remember Livewire? Yeah, that was the orange
one. I liked
it. I used to always do the
Livewire.
Did you like Code Blue?
I don't think I've tried the blue one. Hmm.
Like the deer piss?
The deer piss?
No, Mountain Dew.
No.
Blue.
I was thinking the same thing. Both.
Yeah, I was like, okay, man. Wisconsin, yeah, you guys do it different.
Doing things a little different around here. No, I don't like Baja Blast, but yeah.
Yeah, man. But awesome 3 days. I mean, we're still going to continue.
Oh, we're going to kill a couple more.
We got Bo down here. We got the little PA boy down here for a couple more days at least.
Maybe he can get his first camera kill.
And I do want to just say, yeah, I do want to film one just because. But I do want to just preface this by saying, like, we're at the deer. I mean, the deer. Everything's in my mind deer, but the turkey populations are really good. They are good. This is, you know, it's private land. No, but listen, it's private land. It's not saying that the public is all like this, but the populations are pretty good and they're sustainable to be able to.
That's
to continue
key.
To hunt.
The key is this is sustainable.
Yeah,
you know, and I told Cole this. We was talking about this Saturday or Sunday. So me and Josh done a lot of shows this year. Well, it was a lot for us. It was our first time ever doing shows. But one of the most frequently asked questions that I got, I know, was about turkey populations. And obviously, you know, and I know it because I, you know, being around everybody and talking to and having friends that are from other states and watching other people hunt different states and stuff. And just like you, I've heard you talk about the turkey population in PA being down. You know, it doesn't take rocket science to figure out Tennessee goes from 4 birds in a spring to 2. You know, there's a reason they're doing that because they're seeing a decline in their turkey population. But that's one thing that it seems like around here that we've never really had that issue, because everything, I don't know why, I don't know if it's, I mean, because there's a fair share of turkey hunters. I mean, you know, obviously I don't think we're like the South. You know, you get down into the Mississippis and Alabamas and even Georgias, and you got a pile, I mean, people live and breathe turkey hunting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've still got, you know, our fair share amount of turkey hunters, and we got some turkey killers, but we've never really have an issue with the population of our turkeys, you know. And like Bo said, that's the reason that we can go back.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a hell of a 3 days. We've killed some birds, but we can still, we're not going to hurt ourselves.
No.
And if we ever thought, obviously, we had this conversation at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
If we ever thought, had the thought that we was going to hurt ourselves or the property that we was hunting, we're out. You know, we're doing
Yeah, even if you wanted to be as selfish as possible, if you have any sort of intelligence with it, you would know not to shoot too many birds in an area because it's going to hurt it.
Yeah, I mean, if you go into an area, like, you know, if you go into a holler and there's you hear four longbeards and two jake gobbles, and that's the first week of season, well, and you come out of there and you, at the last week of season, you and your buddies, y'all killed four longbeards out of that holler, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have two jakes. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, next year you're going to have two longbeards, if you're lucky, if they don't get eaten by a coyote or something stupid. That's what you're going to have to hunt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and yeah, we have a decent amount of property to be able to hunt in different, multiple different haulers and hollows and whatever the hell you guys call it. We call them valleys, but you get into these different ridge systems and everything, and we can be hunting, you know, miles apart, essentially.
Completely different flocks of turkeys.
Completely different flocks of turkeys and getting after it, but it, yeah, it's... It's so regional of like how things are. And even like when I say in PA, like I'm talking about my area of PA, which I won't describe the exact area, but like that's what it looks like there. And it's funny, last year I had posted on an Instagram story. I was like, population seemed like they're coming back in my area. And I had 30 different responses from people in different areas of PA. Some, you know, that were all different disagreements or agreements, and it was just like all these different, you know, oh, here it's terrible, it's way worse than I've ever seen, and other people were like, yeah, I see it coming back too in my area that's in a different spot. And it was just, it's so regional on how that works, and that's where it really comes back to. I don't believe you should be able, you have to rely on the government or the state to determine the population. I'm not saying because if you think it's good to shoot more than the tags that are allotted, but I'm saying if, even if they allot two tags in an area for you, if you think the population's down, don't shoot two. Like, it's just,
yeah, I mean, you have like some self-control on just it. Like I said, if you go into a holler or a valley, as you'd call it, or a creek or a crick, whatever you want to call it.
Crick, yeah.
A crick, a river bottom or whatever, and you hear two birds and you're allowed to kill two, and that's your little place you like to go hunt, probably a good idea not to shoot both of them. Yeah. You know, I mean, try somewhere, kill one, try somewhere different.
Yeah.
Don't kill both of them and then go in there, you know, the following season and think you're going to just, birds are going to be tearing the timber down, because mm-hmm. chances are they're not there.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think a big thing with the population, and just like you guys have been talking about, being mindful as yourself as the hunter, because you're the one in the woods observing the population.
Yeah.
Every morning, yeah, hearing like the birds. Like, yes, the state agencies I think have a pretty good idea,
yeah,
but they're not on your property.
Right.
They're not in that area.
Yeah, you can't micromanage it to that level.
No,
and that's what I mean when I say I don't trust it. It's like, it's super difficult to be able to break them down in such small areas and manage it and have an idea on it. There's not enough funding. It's not possible to be able to do that.
No, and you know, and these guys, these state and state guys and stuff, they do a phenomenal job with what they do, these biologists and mm-hmm. stuff. They do great.
Yeah, they do.
But like you said, they're just not everywhere. There's not enough funding for you know, so take a little bit of responsibility on yourself as a hunter to just kind of, you know, observe the situation at hand, what you have going on.
Yep.
Because like you said, everything's so regional and everything is so different. You know, just, you can be in one holler here and there are going to be five turkeys gobbling. You go to the next holler and there might not be one. You know, this guy's hunting this holler where there's no, and he thinks that everything's just died off, you know.
Yeah.
But in reality, no, that might not be the case. They might be across the ridge.
Yep.
So just kind of assess your situation for what it is.
Yep. 100%. But no, I'm looking forward to at least tomorrow and the next day a little bit. I do need to get out doing a little bit of deer scouting. Although that day we dropped into that hellhole afternoon there, that was one spot I wanted to scout. Now, we speed scouted it, to say it lightly, but
we literally went through it as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah, sliding down off the mountain, trying to dodge rattlesnakes and copperheads, but like, I did pick up some good information on
did
that.
You?
Yeah, I did.
Did you drop some pins and stuff?
I dropped some pins. I did drop a pin in one of your areas, too.
Bo, I told you to keep your eyes tunnel vision, Bo.
We went in one area, and Zach's like, I had a camera down here, and we're walking out calling turkeys, and he walks right past this mega scrape. And I said, you guys just kept walking. I'm like, ding.
Yeah,
I marked it in blue, which means camera.
Yeah, I seen you back there.
I ain't gonna put one there. I just have it there in case you move out, you get disinterested.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you need somebody to help out.
Okay,
covering some spots.
I got you.
I got you, Zach.
I stand under you, Bubby. I see where you're going.
Just messing with you, but no, I'm looking forward to continuing it. Like I said, I have a blast just hanging out with you guys, running, gunning, and trying to hide four grown men in the woods from turkeys that have incredible eyes. That's a challenge in itself, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't like, you know, turkeys are real easy to kill. We just make it more difficult, you know, just add more people to the game.
Yeah.
It is what it is. We have a good time doing it. Like Bo said, we look forward to the next few days here.
Yeah.
Weather's going to cool off.
Yeah, it's been a little warm.
Killer.
Been a little warm for
80-plus degrees.
For our first week of season, typically there's a chance of a snow flurry most of the time our first few days of season. But it's been 80, 85 degrees, and it's been hot. But we've had success. But next week it's supposed to cool down, and I don't think the turkey hunting is going to get much better, in my opinion. I mean, we can't ask for much more.
No.
But
I just want to keep it the same, you know.
Yeah, if we could just keep the actual turkey hunting the same and lower the temperature down just a smidge.
Just for our comfort.
Yeah, just for our comfort, we'll be in the money.
Well, guys, I appreciate you coming on and talking here and sticking through it. You know, Cole, I know you got some editing to do, and you didn't bail out like Josh did. So.
Well,
Josh,
I got the drop hour moved back to 8 o'clock instead of 7, so
oh.
I should have some time now.
Nice.
Yeah, Josh just bowed out.
Yeah. Zach, I appreciate you sticking around and doing this. We have another one I'm going to record with Zach that won't come out till a later date about his big old buck that he shot last year. So we'll get to that hopefully on this trip to be able to record it. So we'll see if he's allowed spending that much time with me.
Yeah, Shelby's already on me. She's like, is Bo come down? You just desert us up here? I'm like, I mean, both buddies.
I'll stop by.
Yeah.
You know, I'll babysit a little bit, maybe.
Babysit a little bit. I told her, I said, we can podcast up here.
Yeah.
She said, yeah, that'll really work out real good. Two toddlers running around. I said, that'd be all right, too. I said, we're real, you know.
Everyone's listening. Check out The Untamed on YouTube. You can check out Instagram, Facebook. What's the website? TheUntamedHunt.com?
TheUntamedHunt.com. Get on there. Check it out. We got a bunch of hats, shirts, apparel, all kinds of different stuff on there, man. Just get on there and check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate it, guys. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We will talk to you next week. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this conversation, share it with your buddies. Leave us a rating, a review, and subscribe. If you want to check out more content like this, there's plenty in the links below. We truly appreciate having you guys along with us.